Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Titzaveh. This week, Rabbi Alex Israel discusses Titzaveh. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha Titzaveh, seems beautifully coordinated with Purim because it deals with costume, it deals with clothing, and of course Purim is the time of costume, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about clothing. Our Parshat Shavua, our weekly Torah portion, talks about the vestments for the Kohen Gadol, and it tells us that you should make these clothes, v'asita bigdei kodesh l'aron achicha l'chavod u'letifaret, make sacral vestments for your brother Aaron for dignity and adornment. And when we think about clothes, there is a very complex dynamic, a very interesting relationship between a person and his clothing. On the one hand, clothing can truly reflect the essence of an individual. A person can get up on a, you know, bright summer's day and feel like they want to put on bright colors and flowery clothing. And likewise, sometimes a person might feel very somber and just feel a need to wear something more toned down, more dull. Frequently, an extrovert person can indeed express that through their wild clothing, and a more introvert person or a more conventional, conservative person might express that through their clothing too. These are times in which clothing sort of bring out or reflect what is going on in the individual. Of course, an alternative dynamic is present as well, where occasionally there is a dissonance, a gap between the person who wears the clothing and the person inside it. The clothes obscure and hide our personality. I think probably the most extreme example of that will be dictators who dress in military attire and they wear uniforms in order to show themselves as tough when who knows what they're really like inside. And to a certain degree, if we are asked to wear a uniform at work, whether it's shop assistants working at the checkout of a supermarket chain, or whether it will be a policeman or even a judge, the robes that they wear, the uniform that they wear, it aims to create a certain impression, and we wonder whether this truly reflects. In this case, the clothing doesn't express the inside, it is at variance with the inside, and it expresses something very different. And indeed, the Hebrew word beged, bet gimel dalet, can be related to the word bagad, betrayal, deception. So clothing can work in two directions. I once heard a lovely Dvar Torah from Rav Nachum Ravinovich, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ma'ale Adumim, who said this actually about our talit and our arba kamfot, our personal tzitzit. As many of you are probably aware, the mitzvah fringes of tzitzit are attached to clothing. Gedilim ta'aselecha al arba kamfot kusutcha asher tchaseba. You should wear fringes on the four corners of the clothing which you cover yourself with. And in the contemporary Jewish reality, this reflects itself it manifests itself in two different forms. There is frequently the talit gadol, what we call a talit, which is worn in situations of prayer, which is a large piece of cloth with tzitzit on the corners, which envelops the person and is worn on top of the person's clothing. And then there is also a talit katan, a small talit, which men are known to wear, some underneath their shirts. Sometimes you'll find chassidim wearing them over their shirts. And which are hidden away. Occasionally the strings of the tzitzit peek out and are tucked into the pockets or what have you. And Rav Rabinovich wanted to claim that these indeed reflect both of these different aspects. There is the tzitzit which we wear in the form of the talit. And the talit, the bracha we make is lihitatef b'tzitzit, to wrap oneself up in the tzitzit. The Sugya in Rosh Hashanah, the Talmud there, tells us about God teaching us how to pray. And then when he teaches us how to pray, he wraps himself up in a talit. What would be the idea of the Shliach Tzibor, of the Chazan, of the prayer leader, wrapping himself up in a talit? It is clear that the idea is that the prayer leader wants to obscure his own identity. He wants to take on the quintessential paradigm of the prayer leader, as if to say, I am the embodiment of the community. I am not Mr. Goldberg or Mr. Cohen or Mr. Levy. I am the Shliach Tzibur. I am the person who embodies the community. And in order to do that, he takes his prayer shawl and he puts it right over his head. And indeed, there is a tradition of a chazan, even for the afternoon prayer, where nobody else puts on their talit. The chazan wears a talit. Some will say it's a sign of respect for the community, but one could argue, and so argued Rav Rabinovich, that the lehitatef betzitzit is the idea to wrap oneself off up, almost to envelop oneself in an item of mitzvah, obscuring myself. Whereas the talit katan is worn under the clothing. The talit katan, the small personal tzitzit, is a sign of devotion. Only Jews who wish to commit themselves to that particular mitzvah will engage in it. Nobody knows whether one's wearing it. It's underneath the clothing. It reflects, it's an outgrowth, it's a reflection, it's an expression of a personal commitment. Once again, clothing can come in multiple forms. Sometimes clothing is at variance with a personality, it obscures the personality, or possibly it expresses the true depths of the human soul. The talit katan, representing a commitment to all 613 mitzvot, or item oto zechartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, you will see the fringes, and you will remember all of the commandments of God, and you will not stray after your heart and after your eyes. The talit katan, the small tzitzit, will reflect the commitment of the individual to his Judaism. I come back to the Mishkan. I come back to the tabernacle and the wonderful clothes of the Kohanim, and I think to myself, how do they work? And maybe we will start with the Sefer HaChinuch, where the Sefer HaChinuch says that, after all, a priest is just a person. A priest is not some, you know, prophet or what have you. And he says the following: man is affected and transformed by means of his actions, and his actions follow his thoughts and intentions. The priests, the agents of atonement, must occupy their entire thinking with their divine intent. Hence it is fitting that the priest wear special clothes, so that at every moment in which he will glance at his body, he will be immediately reminded and reawakened to think about he who before whom he serves. This is in the same manner as tefillin. The instruction to wear tefillin is a reminder that one purify one's thoughts. So in other words, the Sefer HaChinuch, written in the 13th century, is essentially stating that the royal clothing, indeed it is royal clothing that the priest wears, it's made out of chelet, special blue thread, and it's sometimes even woven in with gold, is to remind the priest, maybe the high priest even more, which is why he wears a head plate, which says on it, holy to God, remind him of his calling. And since he is meant to be there in the house of God, thinking about religious and spiritual intent all the time, this is indeed what the clothing is meant to do. It's meant to surround him with his mission, and thereby it will penetrate deeper. It is not so much an outgrowth of the person, but it is there to affect and to penetrate into the person. Could there possibly, though, be another understanding? And maybe we could argue that there are certain of the clothing which are actually meant to be expressive of the individual. And I will maybe mention a couple of them. We have the choshen mishpat, which is the breastpiece of the Kohen Gadol. He wears it on his chest. And what's fascinating about it is that it says, inside the breastpiece of decision, it's called Choshen Mishpat, the breastpiece of judgment, or the breastpiece of decision. You're meant to place the Urim V'Tumim so they are over Aaron's heart when he comes before God. And Aaron shall carry the instrument of decision for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord of all time. What was this particular garment? Well, it was a woven piece of fabric, which was doubled over, and on the outside of it, it had 12 precious stones. And each stone was engraved with a name of one of the 12 tribes. Inside were the Urim V'Tumim, which Rashi says was the name of God. And it sits over Aaron's heart. Maybe this is actually an expression of what is going on inside. And in order to, inside the heart. And indeed, in order to, maybe it brings out the notion of decision-making that the priest has to make. But in order to understand this, let me possibly contrast it with a different one of the special garments of the high priest, which is the tzitz, the headplate. The headplate is made out of solid gold, and it is emblazed also with God's name. It says on it, Kodesh Lashem, and it is tied with a tchelet, with a royal blue thread. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the famous Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, expressed the following, and he said, the headplate is on the seat of thoughts. Thoughts are crystal clear. The name of God here is exposed. Anybody who looks at the high priest will see on his forehead the band which says, Kodesh Lashem, holy to God. And he says, indeed, the idea is that the thoughts are clear, the thoughts are absolutely, when the ideas of Judaism, the ideas of Halakha, the instructions, the inspiration, when all of these things are in the mind, they are absolutely clear. But what about when they are in the heart? What about when the heart has to make a decision? Here the heart has to make a decision according to the weave of the 12 tribes. Here the word of God is obscured. He sees this as a metaphor for Halakha. Halakha has pristine concepts. We have concepts of Shabbat, but those concepts of Shabbat need to be filtered through the weave of human reality such that Shabbat is sometimes pushed aside in a situation of emergency, where Shabbat might need to express itself in one community different to another community. It has to go through the weave of Reuven and Shimon and Levi, all the 12 tribes. We might have pristine concepts like the value of human life and thou shalt not murder. But what happens when a person is on life support machine? Then the word of God is obscured and we don't know. Do we go according to brain death? Do we go according to the breathing of the individual, their ability to sustain life independently? Here, the word of God has to be filtrated. It has to be refracted through the prism of the tribes of Israel, through the prism of the human reality. God's word is tucked inside. It's elusive, but it needs to be found and needs to be woven through the fabric of the halakha. And therefore, he says that really these bigdei kohuna are expressions of certain ideas of the purity of the intellect and the complexity of the heart. Here we can see that the bigdei kohuna, the clothes of the kohen, are far more than just choreography, far more than a wardrobe. They are there in order to give expression to very, very deep concepts within Judaism. And I'd like to maybe jump to something which is on our mind this week, and that is the Megillah. Because in the Megillah, certainly clothes also play a very, very central role. In the initial scene, we see the palace of Ahasuerus. And indeed, the fabrics in that palace seem to reflect the fabrics of the temple. As it says there, white cotton, chur, karpasu, tchelet, tachutz, bechavli, butz, be'argaman, white cotton like the priests wear, blue wool, tchelet, caught up with cords of fine linen and purple wool, algaman, with silver and gold, very reminiscent of the temple itself. Maybe it's not surprising that the rabbis suggested that Ahasuerus at the feast, a feast which is described as Baharotot Osher Kvod Malchuto Vetikar Tiferet Gedulato, a feast which was meant to describe the honor of his kingdom and the splendor of his greatness, reflect the Bigdei Kohuna, reflect the Kohen's clothes, which are Lechavod Ulitiferet, for honor and for splendor. The rabbis even say that they think that Ahasuerus, and again this is clearly a midrash, was wearing the priest's clothes. What are they trying to say there is an interesting question. But the clothes play such a central role. Because of course, when the decree is given, Mordechai goes out in sackcloth and ashes. Queen Esther, in order to approach the king, puts on special royal clothing. When the story reaches its crescendo, it is Haman who suggests that Mordechai be enrobed with the king's clothes and the king's, and be on the king's horse and wear the king's crown. Once again, clothing coming in. And at the end of the story, or Mordechai yatzam ifnei hamelech, when Mordechai is given the upper hand, he leaves the king with royal clothing, tchelet. He's wearing blue royal clothing, and The Megillah is full of costumes. But here once again is the question about Megillah. The Megillah, we say, has many, many hidden layers. It's a political story, but we suggest, and the reason why we include it in our religious liturgy, is that really behind the story, hidden, disguised, masquerading, is God. Many people will say that There's another aspect in which the Megillah is, if you want, dressed up. As I mentioned, Ahasuerus's palace looks like the temple. In fact, it so much looks like the temple that it has an inner courtyard, which one only can come into by pain of death, and the king has to extend his scepter in order to go in there. And in order to plead for the Jewish people, Esther wears royal clothes and goes in to see who will live and who will die, a scene which is incredibly reminiscent of the entry of the high priest into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. In fact, even the word Purim, the notion of a lottery, forms a central ritual of Yom Kippur. It almost seems like the palace of Ahasuerus is a foil for the temple. What exactly does this mean? Is this trying to tell us that Jews should be building their temple in Jerusalem and not hanging out in Shushan, the capital, not remaining in Persian society? Or is it coming to tell us something else? What we have to do, and when we think of this, is that we have to think about the notion of masks. We all wear masks. Is our clothing, both physically and metaphorically, a true expression of who we are? Are we showing, able to really show our soul to the world? Or are we wearing many layers which obscure the truth within us? A truth which is buried deep underneath, which we're not allowing to really gain full expression. One of the most fascinating midrashim, if I'm speaking about this, is that when the king calls his first wife, Vashti, and she refuses to come, and they say they want to see her beauty, one of the midrashim says the reason why she refused to come is because he asked her to come naked. He asked her to come without her royal clothing. There is no royal who, if we saw him naked, would appear very, very royal. One shouldn't forget that we also do need clothing. We do need a way of presenting ourselves to the world. But maybe the way that we should want to present ourselves to the world is in a way which really reflects, it really expresses the dignity of man and the truth of our Jewish identity. Wishing you all a very happy Purim and a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.